You're listening to the Talking 20 podcast. This podcast is for you if you're in your 20s and you're thinking, what the hell am I doing? We've all been there and we want to talk about it. We're your hosts, Bridget O'Rourke and Mary Margaret Courtney, and we sit down with fellow millennials to chat about their journey and hear what they've learned along the way. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the Talking 20 podcast. As you guys know, we love to have people on the show who live cool and creative lives to talk about the journey of their 20s and how they got to where they are today. And our guest today is someone who has definitely lived up to that definition of this podcast. We're super excited to be joined by Daniel James McFadden. He is a full-time musician based in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and today he's joining us virtually from there, which is super cool. And he hasn't always been a full-time musician. After growing up in the town of Caledon, Ontario, which is super cool because we're from Orangeville, he moved out east to pursue music, I think, but we're going to talk about that in a second. And he started his career playing shows in pubs in and around the Annapolis Valley area and has now released two EPs, his most recent one, August I'm Yours, which the song that you just heard is from this album. It was nominated for an East Coast Music Award, which is huge. When I saw that he recently signed with Canary Minor Music, which we'll talk about in a second, we knew that we had to have him on the show. Now, before we get into it, if you're new to the podcast, make sure to follow on your favorite streaming platform and keep up with our shenanigans on Instagram at Talking20Podcast. Mary and I are super big goofballs on there, and we're actually currently training for a 15K Tough Mudder that's coming up real soon, and we're documenting that training process on Instagram, so if you're interested in that, then definitely follow along. And then one short little note before we start, I actually tested positive for COVID this morning. So we're just going to have to deal with that. But that's why I don't sound normal right now. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So you're currently touring right now, right?
Yeah, kind of on and off. It's in the middle of a tour, playing some shows on the East Coast and then heading to Ontario in about a month. So. Yeah.
Nice. Are you excited for that?
I am excited. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've been out there, and excited to come back with the full band this time, which is a first. So yeah, very excited.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So Daniel, I know you because I guess it was about a year ago now. You were opening for Craig Cardiff's album release. I was working for True North Records with Jordan Percival, who we've had on the show. If anybody wants to hear Jordan's episode, you can go to, I don't remember what number it was, but it was Understanding the Millennial Mindset. So I remember texting Jordan after I saw you, and I was like, Jordan, you got to sign this guy. Like, this is amazing. You got to sign him to Canary Minor Music.
I'm learning so much. Thank you. That's great.
Yeah, we're actually here to tell you, you owe Bridget a cut.
I figured that's what this was about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was in the terms and conditions. You should have read the fine print. But at that point, you were already working on, I guess, your album with somebody else. But I was stoked when Jordan told me recently that he was having a meeting with you to sign you, which is awesome. And I was actually out for dinner with Jordan the other night, and he said that you were working with Craig right now on some of his kids' stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, we kind of the day job aspect of my music career is running co-op programs in Ottawa, like OCDSB school board with Craig, and helping high school students get alternative credits for high school, which is really fun.
Like through music? Like what is, can you explain what this is?
Through songwriting and through video editing. So there's different credits they can get. It's really cool, and it's kind of something I wish I had in high school, so I spend a couple hours a day just kind of helping out with that and mentoring, I guess. That's a good way of putting it.
That's so cool. And for Craig, like, that's just signature Craig Cardiff to do something so wonderful.
That's awesome.
I agree. I wish I had something like that in high school. That would have been way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would rather do that than math, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Or gym. Or gym or literally anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That's great. So how did you meet Craig?
I used to work at a summer camp when I was really young. I was 16 outside of Ottawa called Red Pine Camp. And he'd come and play a show there every summer. And my sisters that were both older than me, one of them living in Orangeville, actually, they always brought back CDs.
Wait, pause. CDs. What's her name?
Shauna.
Oh, Shauna McFadden.
She's in real estate.
Shauna McFadden.
Yeah.
Are you related to a Sam McFadden?
No, but I could be. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, I went to high school with a Sam McFadden.
we'll check the family tree after and see if we can track it down.
They're so close to me.
But my sisters brought back Craig Gard albums, like CDs, when I was young, and I became a fan, and had him out for a show at Acadia University in Nova Scotia, and I opened up, and we've just stayed in contact since.
So nice. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you booked him out for a show there?
Yeah, I reached out and I said, I knew he had played in Wolfville before. And I said, if you ever want to come out, I'm happy to help organize and play with you. And he took me up on the offer. He came out and the rest is kind of history. Played some shows with him. And a couple years ago when COVID started, he reached out about this opportunity to do some songwriting for kids' song music videos, which has been really fun and nice. Mentoring for co-op. Yeah.
Very cool. So when did you go to Acadia?
I started in 2014. So I moved from Bolton to Wolfville then, and kind of I've been back and forth between the two here and there, but now pretty regularly in Nova Scotia.
Nice. So how old were you when you moved out there?
I was 18. So 18, I'm 26 now, so 8 years ago.
And what did you go to school for?
Business. Actually, yeah, business entrepreneurship specifically. Yeah,
but that overlaps a lot with being a full-time musician now. I'm sure you're taking away a lot of the things that you learned.
Yeah, more than I thought initially when I started playing gigging full-time. So it's proven to be pretty useful, which has been great.
Hey, there's got to be some overlap here. I went to Robert F. Hall.
Yeah.
Now
I went to Humberview.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a few years ahead. Like, I graduated from Hall in 2010. Okay. But a lot of friends from the Bolton area. And then you going to Acadia. Acadia was always a part of COCA, which I don't know if you know about COCA.
No. Oh, my God. If you said yes, I'd be like, are you
kidding? I just wanted him to so badly. Like, this. So, Daniel, every person we have on this episode or on this podcast is somehow connected, either related to us or like connected through this conference, which is how I met Jordan and how I met Craig. But I just thought because you booked him that maybe you were doing work with like campus stuff or
no.
something. But that was just you being like super engaging and wanting to play and start booking people at a young age.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never booked anybody really since. So it was kind of a one-off. But I was a fan. And,
it's cool though. It's kind of ballsy. Like to just be like, I'm just going to do this thing and to reach out to a professional. Like, good on you. Actually, Craig is one of the first people I ever booked.
I was going
to
say, good thing that it was Craig. Yeah. Like Craig is so receptive to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it worked out really well. I remember sending the message when I was like, I think it was 18 or 19 and sending that message to my mom. I was like, Mom, should I send this? Is this weird? And she was like, no, do it. The worst you can say is no. So I was like, all right. It's led to some cool
he things. Is the best person to do it because especially back then, like he would do anything to build those connections and get music out there and make his name, and college and university campuses were huge for him. But then other artists, like he does anything he can to support other artists. So like what a coincidence, but for you to reach out to him specifically, of course, like it was only going to be supported.
Yeah, it worked out great. And that's how I met Jordan and a lot of other friends in the industry. So. Yeah, everything's
awesome.
Yeah,
snowball. Very cool.
All right, so let's talk about Halifax. Halifax is where you are, right?
Wolfville? Yeah, more specifically, no, it's in the I'm living in the Annapolis Valley right now. I was in Halifax all last year, but I'm about an hour outside of Halifax now in Port Williams, a really small town that most people haven't heard of.
Okay, yeah. so you moved out there for school.
Yep.
And then what made you stay? And you said you've been back and forth, right?
Yeah, I've been kind of back and forth, done some work in the summers. I lived in Loretto, Ontario. I don't know if you know where that is for 6-7 months.
My parents live right beside there.
Nice. So I was there.
Have you heard of Malmer?
Malmer, of course. Yeah, small town of Malmer. Yeah,
of course. What do you mean? Of course. Nobody knows where Malmer is.
Nobody. Of course. I in Loretto for 7 months.
Bumfuck nowhere.
Yeah, I think that's how it's spelled. But I was in. I came out for university and I just really liked the culture, and people were super supportive of the music and would always come out to shows. And yeah, I played the same spot every Thursday for like 4 or 5 years, and people would come out and I'd start throwing in some original music and people would learn the words. So I think that's kind of what pushed me to start my music career. And I just love the, East Coast. I love the ocean. I love the culture here, and the summers are really fun. So yeah, the people mainly is probably the reason I stayed out here.
Oh, the people out east are literally the best. Yeah. I'm very jealous that you live there.
It's great.
I want to go to out east. I've never been out east, but I have a feeling that it's very similar to, is it similar to Ireland?
I haven't been to Ireland, so I have no, I played a lot of like Irish style music, I guess, in terms of music, yes, but yeah, I mean, we'll say yes.
To both, and I'm going to say yes.
Okay, great.
And the reason is, I'm so scared I'm going to fuck this up, guys, but I believe geographically, a lot of the people that came from Ireland landed out east.
It makes sense.
So which also makes sense because the Titanic left Belfast and then was heading... Am I right?
I don't know. Just keep going. You sound confident.
Heading to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, I'm going to do it with confidence. I'm just kidding. The Titanic left Belfast and was headed towards the East Coast. Those things can connect by water.
That is true. No one's going to oppose you on that one.
There's just dead space in between that.
But I did know that because I have family. My family's from Truro.
Yeah,
I don't
know if you know where Truro is. Oh, no, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been there a few times, in Halifax many times. My favorite example of out east is I was walking down the street and I like looked across the road and the car stopped in the middle of the road. I was like, no, go ahead. It's just so nice. Like no one's in a rush. Everyone's really nice. And then, it's just like pubs and music and happiness, and which is very Ireland-esque. Like Ireland is very much about like celebrating life, and like most people are happy, laissez-faire.
Yeah.
Type people.
I'd say that's an accurate description. I think we've connected Ireland and Nova Scotia. Okay, great.
I'm moving. I'm up and moving tomorrow.
Whoa. I need you.
I'm looking for another roommate, so if you want to come move in, let me know.
There we go. Yeah. Perfect. I already have a place, Mary. Sorry.
Here's your space. Yeah.
Are you allergic to cats by chance?
Am I? No.
Yeah.
No.
Do you like cats?
I like a cat. Look, here's a little cat.
Oh, there's a cat.
We have officially landed.
Oh, look at him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He looks like Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
Hi, he's so cute.
Yeah,
it's Pancake. His tail.
No, she has tail.
Her tail.
Yeah, that's right there.
Oh, it looked like it was, like, completely bald, except for a little floof at the end, like Charizard.
Yeah, she had to get shaved because she had some mats. But
does she have a permanent grumpy face?
No, yeah, I'd say so.
She likes to smile.
I don't like to say it in front
Sundays.
Of her, but yeah.
It's okay. It's cute. It's a look.
She's sweet.
It's a look. So I have a permanent grumpy face. So there we go.
So the answer is not allergic to cats. No.
Not allergic. Okay, cool. Except his cat's probably allergic to other cats, but it's fine. Yeah. We'll make it work. Okay. So when you moved out there, was there like a huge culture shock? I know I went to Ireland, which is why I was asking about that. I was there for about a year after university, and it was like there was this huge culture shock, but not in the way that, like, it wasn't completely different from here. It was more so just like the personality of people and the acceptance of people and all that kind of stuff. So what was that like for you?
I moved right onto campus the first day I arrived in Nova Scotia, and right into university. So I'd say the culture shock of the actual town and the province, not as much as the shock of just being at a university after and like in a new province. So I'd say,
had you lived on your own before you moved out there, or was that your first?
No, that was my first time living completely on my own, I'd say. So the shock of that and just being, just living with a bunch of other 18 and 19 year olds was probably more shocking than the East Coast culture to me.
Imagine a bunch of 18, 19 year olds in a place that's completely different than where they grew up.
It's nuts.
In a culture that's like loves drinking. That must have been wild.
Especially here.
Residents must have been wild.
Yeah, it was a time.
Well, and it's true. Like you move away from home and you could live 5 minutes down the road or 12 hours away, but learning to adult and like actually fend for yourself and live with a budget or not live with your budget and drinking and eating and going to school, like it doesn't really matter where you are, it's pretty intense.
Yep.
I just think it's like a courageous move to move to another province on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still figuring out the adulting part of it, I guess. But
Aren't we all?
Yeah, there we go.
We all are. Not there
That's
yet.
What Talking 20. Is. That's why we started this podcast.
There we go.
Yeah, let's talk about
That's
the
exactly why we started this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shit show. It's supposed to be, and we're not supposed to know.
Good. Dude. Makes me feel better.
I mean, I have like 2 more months of being in my 20s, and I've just decided that it's all irrelevant and it's just a number because.
You're going to have to start a new podcast.
No.
Talking 30.
I refuse. No, I'm just an expert at my 20s. I've completed the thing.
But are you?
I can
you?
Still talk about it. I'm not an expert. Of course not. But I can bullshit.
The Mary Titanic is very good at bullshitting.
Came from Belfast.
Okay, so.
Anyway, sorry. We're way off track.
Yeah, we're
let's
getting
go
off
back
track.
Where we were.
So you are now a full-time musician. So let's talk about, like, that's not something that you just, you know, you moved to the East Coast and you became a full-time musician. I'm sure there were some crazy jobs in there. There was some working up to that. So can you talk a little bit about your journey from, okay, so now you're in residence at university. What happened next?
So, when I was 18 in residence, I was going to school and I reached out. The first week I was there, I reached out to this pub called the Library Pub in Wolfville, and I asked them if I could play on, I could play a gig, and they said, sure, come on in. And I started playing there every Thursday. And that's kind of where it started, and people would start coming up to the shows, friends from school. But I actually got fired from that job because somebody got punched in the face at one of my shows. It's
so
a really
you got
small
fired?
Yeah, because I was
did you tell him to do it?
It was almost like I was inciting.
Was it you who punched them?
No, but I was inciting a bit of a wild vibe at this small little pub in Wolfville. But I got rehired probably like 6-7 months later, and then played there every week.
So wait, like, can we talk about this experience?
Yeah, I need to understand this because like your music is fun and definitely encourages like beers and dancing, but yeah, your music's not something that would make me want to like rage.
Yeah, you know, I think it's changed a bit. I think when I first started playing there, I played a lot of like bar songs and a lot of like upbeat stuff, and I'd get people like jumping up and down, and yeah, it was a lot different than it is now. Yeah, okay. So
he was playing Shots by LMFAO.
Yeah, I was mainly in it. They called me the LMFAO cover band of Wolfville. But
wait, are you joking?
I'm completely joking. Yeah, I never played okay. in the LFA. So.
Sarcasm surpassed me.
But yeah, I think it was just where I was at in life and the friends I had and stuff that would always come out and
making it
yeah.
a wild party.
Yeah, it became
okay,
a bit of a party.
So you got fired. You got rehired.
And then that kind of led to other gigs. I started a cover band in my second or third year called the New Digs, and. Yeah, we played kind of everywhere, and that's when I first started like gigging a little bit more for real. The first time we played was like for a pitcher of beer, and then kind of went from there.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So, amazing. Like money wise, were you making money at this time?
You know, it felt like a lot when I was playing at Library Pub. I think it was like a couple $100, maybe $150, but the bar tab was unlimited. And I think part of the reason at first,
which is it got wild that way.
I think the bar, like I don't know how much I was spending. I didn't really care at the beginning when I was 18 and 19. I was a little bit more careful with the bar tab when I got rehired, but it got pretty out of hand pretty quickly. I think there's the only gig I've played where it was just like unlimited drinks and whatever you wanted. And Drew and Adrian, if you're listening, it's probably not a good idea.
You should probably cut that back.
Yeah, we should cut. Ends up definitely being more than that.
That's hilarious. Okay, so then through all this, like you start playing, like most musicians, it's passion-based. It's based on that experience. You get up, you love the high of performing for people. Are you starting to write music at this point? Are you seeing that this could be a career? Or are you still kind of like, I just want to get drunk and play my guitar?
Yeah, I think it was a mix. I think... At first, I was like, this is cool if people are paying me to do this. It's not such like have drinks and have a good time. And I was definitely writing a bit on the side. And I think it just became more and more. I just did more and more writing and started to transition into more original songs and storytelling with the songs. And it wasn't really until, I was doing some original full original shows before COVID, but it was a mix. Like, I'd go and play like this library pub show on Thursday where it was mainly covers, and then I'd charge $10 for a ticket for a fully original show or like an EP release party. And this overlap was kind of weird. It was like people didn't really know what to expect when they came to shows. This is in hindsight. At the time, I thought I didn't really think of it. But COVID kind of gave me the break to fully focus on writing while I was working construction out of Loretto near you guys, and to write the music and to get the kind of album together. And then after that point, I kind of started stopped doing all the kind of COVID, or sorry, the cover shows, and just focused on original sets and touring my original stuff.
That's crazy because your stuff is so good. I would think that you've been like writing and producing music. Like for the first little while, like people start and they're like, I'm going to write and produce and let's see where this goes. And you're always really proud of those like first pieces of work, but they're not necessarily like keepers. And as you get working over the time, you might take that down because the production value is too low or whatever. Yep. But your sound, like you've been doing this for 10 years, 15 years. I don't know. Like it's amazing.
I think, yeah.
Also,
the first
two EPs, actually.
So like there's two EPs and a full, and the August and Yours is a full album. So the two EPs were from 2018 and 2019.
Oh, okay. Well, disregard my intro, everybody.
That's okay. That's okay. I wasn't going to say anything.
He's like, wrong.
Yeah, that's okay. So yeah, the EPs are the smaller albums were before COVID, and then the full album was like a COVID album.
It's really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So I'll be completely honest. I hadn't really listened to much. Last weekend, Bridget played a few songs for me and I was like, getting the vibe. So today I was going for my run. So I was like, I'm going to throw a few of his songs in there and just see where we go, which is always risky because when you're running and if you get like a sad, sappy ballad about something terrible, it's not helpful to keep you motivated and running. And what was I've had the name of it up and everything. One of your songs came on and I was like, damn, coming in clutch. It was so Stay the Night.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's an old one.
That's an old one. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, I would never have guessed that that was one of your first songs that you recorded.
Yeah, that was the first song off the first EP. That album was at the same time as doing all these cover shows and trying to make something. Actually, it started off as a school project for entrepreneurship class. This amazing teacher named Ryan McNeil. No, that whole EP. It was a venture creation class where they let you have a business idea and you actually have to like go out and sell your stuff.
Brilliant.
So I used that as my project for that final year. Final year project. So that was that EP. That's where that started. I kind of forgot about that.
Did you go to business school in order like for music?
No. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought like up until like I was offered a marketing job in 2020 that I almost took and would have been a full-time marketing job. So like I wasn't even sure I was going to do music full-time until fairly recently.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So where does that decision land? Like how are you, especially like such a transition in the world where we just don't know where shit's going at all times. How did you come to decide like we're going to make the commitment into music?
I had some really supportive friends and my parents played a role as well. When I didn't know, it was literally like 50-50 whether I was going to keep touring because COVID, it was like September, October 2020. So COVID had hit and I didn't know what the future was and this marketing job sounded pretty good and it was in a city, it was in Halifax and I hadn't lived in a city before. So I just had some friends being like my dad was on the business side being like, this is safe, you should do it. And then I had my mom and a couple of my friends being like, I don't think you should take it. You should just keep doing music. And in hindsight, I'm so, so happy. Like it worked out great. But yeah, I think the decision came mainly from supportive friends and family.
That's amazing. Nice. Well, good for you because it's a hard life. I mean, Bridget and I are on the entrepreneur train, not necessarily the musician train, but it's rough. It's rough when you are your own product and you have to sell yourself and no business school or training can stop those thoughts from going into your head telling you you suck and shouldn't be doing this and go get that marketing job. It's safe. It's paycheck every week, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I think you'll never know if you don't do it now.
It's true.
So just do it. And like you've made some amazing connections. shout out to Jordan and Canary Minor Music. We obviously love them and we're so happy that you're a part of that team. But it's so wild because just listening to it, it just seems like you're not just beginning. So I'm like very excited to see where you go with this and the fact that like,
Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you. I just had a question and I completely lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay.
Do you need a moment? I'll blame it on the COVID.
Yeah.
COVID's pulling you back here.
No, I'll move on to one of these questions. So I read that there's a lot of meaning behind the song August, I'm Yours. Can you talk about it?
August, I'm Yours. But yeah, okay. So August, I'm Yours. This is, it actually, most of the song was written as kind of an old song. And it was the end of summer. It was going into fall. And I was going through some relationship-y stuff at the time too. This is a while back. And really missing, I was missing the summer months and like sad. It was like, I felt like this relationship was coming to an end. And also the season changing, like both of them together, started the song. And it was on the back burner for a long time, for years. And then it came back. I started playing it again after the summer of 2020 when I was thinking about putting it on the record and calling the whole record August, I'm Yours. It then changed its meaning and finished when I was working out construction and I wanted to get back to Nova Scotia because I got all my friends. There was no restrictions in Nova Scotia at the time. And I just saw all these like Instagram stories of friends having fun and being free when Ontario was in like full lockdown.
Full lockdown. Yeah.
And I was working, I loved working with my brother-in-law and working construction, but it's definitely not where my passion is. So I knew that I had to get just like head down every day and that like August was the month that I was able to come back to Nova Scotia and start working on the actual record itself and get into the studio. So in my head, I always had that goal of like, okay, August, I'm going to be back. That's all I need to get through. I just need to get through day by day and then I'll be there. And that's kind of where the rest of the song came out and why the album ended up adapting the name of the song.
Nice.
So yeah, it was like years in between the beginning and the end.
Yeah, lots of meaning
also
there.
Also a great one.
No, thank you.
Are there any other songs on the album that relate to like something that you went through in your 20s?
For sure. That's a good question. Fear is Driving, the first song on the record, was mainly written on a plane from Halifax to Toronto when everything was being shut down. It was like the last plane and I got like one of the last flights booked before everything, even like when planes were running. So I didn't really know where I was going in my life. Yeah. No, I didn't really know what I was doing with my life and with the decisions that I was making were correct. And that's kind of where that comes from. So it's like losing control of what you want to do and not really knowing. I think that that's a lot of uncertainty in that song. And that's where that comes from.
Nice.
So definitely.
Go
ahead.
Oh, keep going.
No, you go.
I was going to say, wow, what about is it High Pay Hard Days or vice versa?
Yeah, High Pay Hard Days. You got it? Wait, High Pay Hard Days. That was inspired by, that's more of a story based on not personal experience, but written just from stories that I've heard about Fort McMurray and working out west. And my brother-in-law worked in oil for a long time working out there. So he told me some stories about it. And a lot of people on the East Coast do kind of a 2 week on, 2 week off work schedule where they fly out west and work hard and then try to come back. And they grind for 2 weeks and then come back to Nova Scotia or the East Coast. So that's where that song comes from. It's less about personal experience.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song you've written so far?
That's a
good question.
Right now. It doesn't need to be set in stone. We are recording this forever, but
we can go in and I'll like mark this spot so I can just like interchange it every month when your mind changes.
Nice. When my mind changes.
There we go. Yeah. I can't do that.
Something from the record. I think it's different. Songs I like to play live are different than my favorite song. I think playing live, it's really fun to play High Pay Hard Days with the whole like group, with the whole band and everybody like yelling the part at the end, which is really fun. So I love playing High Pay Hard Days live. There's just a lot of space in the song as well. It's like it slows down the show and like no matter how bad the sound system is, there's so much space that like it usually sounds good. And then for in terms of how the actual recording went, I'd probably Caroline, because I worked with my producer named Ryan Roberts in Kentville, and he kind of like nursed this baby into what it is. He was really excited about the song and pretty much came up with the whole arrangement a lot different. Like, it was a lot different than how the original song is. There's a version of me playing it acoustically that's more like how it was written. Okay. But yeah, he kind of came up with the different parts, and it was just really fun to make. And it was the first time I used kind of like synthesizer sounds on a song, and we worked on it together, and it was really fun. And it was the first song that we completed on the record. So I still really like listening to that song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely a good windows down driving song.
Yeah, and that's kind of that kind of became its purpose, the like lead single from the album, and first time I made any kind of merch for a song. So there's a lot of like good memories and happiness connected to that song for me. So that's probably my go-to.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear that you're doing like a full band situation when you come to Ontario, because the vibe of like when listening to your songs, I'm sure acoustically they sound amazing, but. I feel like there's going to be some magic in your shows with the having a full band.
Yep.
For anyone listening, like, that can vary depending on the type of band you are, what the term full band means.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us, is it a 5-piece, a 9-piece? Are we going to have some saxophone? Are there going to be
no horns? No horns on this tour.
Choir,
maybe in the future. So
what is a full band for you?
The group that I've been touring with right now is it's a 4 or 5 piece. So it's a bassist, electric guitar player, drummer, myself on the acoustic or electric, and then Sarah Surrett, who sang a lot on this record as well. So she might be coming out for the Ontario show. She's not 100% sure, but it's definitely the 4-piece. So bass, drums, acoustic and electric, and they're just great guys, and they're so much fun, and they're amazing at what they do. So
are you gonna
the box drum? I don't know, the box drum won't make it on this tour, but the full drum kit will. Yeah, they're just a blast, and I really, this album specifically, a lot of the songs kind of I love with a full arrangement and full band, and that's how we recorded it, and that was the vision. So it's really fun, and some of the old songs that I've never gotten to tour with a full band, came back, Stay the Night specifically, to like get this full band sound to it. And so these guys are awesome. I love them, and really excited to cram into a van and drive 18 hours.
I was going to ask, yeah, are you guys driving or are you flying?
Yeah. We're driving. You're driving. So I have this diesel Sprinter van that I built out with my brother-in-law when I lived in Laredo.
Cool.
And it's kind of the first time it's being toured with the band. There's only 2 seats in it, so we're like strapping down lawn chairs, and like
someone's
just gonna line
them
up.
How do you fit all of your equipment and what you're strapping? This is super legal.
Yeah, legal. Don't. If any police officers are listening,
they're listening.
They're looking for your van.
Don't
now.
Turn it up.
They're gonna put out like an alert on. Not an Amber Alert.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Oh,
that got
really
dark quickly. For the record, not kidnapping anybody.
There will be no children in the car.
It is a big white van, so I hope not.
Oh my god! Just don't
carry
candy.
Like, sleep. What are you like hotel hopping?
We don't have that really figured out yet. I have a couple friends in Toronto.
The lawn chairs turn into beds.
They're like, they're reclining.
Broken kind of lawn chairs.
Yeah, we'll crash. I think Riley Burns, who we're playing the Ottawa show with, he's awesome. He's from Ottawa. I think he has some extra beds. We're gonna crash in. There's a bed in the van. I'll probably crash in. And Ted, my drummer's from Ottawa.
So for anyone who's in Ontario who's listening, if you have a spare bed, maybe reach out to Daniel and let him know.
Yeah.
If you're playing in Orangeville, you're more than welcome to stay at Bridget's parents' house in Malmer.
I've always wanted to tour Malmer.
In the West Wing. I've always wanted to visit Malmer. No, but when you guys are in Hamilton, if anybody needs a place to stay, you're more than welcome to put some of your guys here.
Take Bridget's room.
Take my room.
Malmer.
I'll go to Malmer. You guys can have my
room. That sounds good.
But where are you guys touring? What are some of the spots?
We're just, this one's short though. The band works full time, so they have to be back to work on Monday.
Oh my God.
So we have 2 shows
in
Toronto.
You're driving 18 hours.
For 3 shows.
Incredible.
So we got a big one in Ottawa, and then and then two in Toronto. And then we were trying to line up something on a Saturday that kind of fell through. So we're still looking actually for to play somewhere on Saturday night. So if anybody has a backyard or just a space that can fit.
I know somebody who has a great backyard. Jordan Percival.
There we go. I think that was Jordan said that's
also
our,
Mary.
My parents, not me.
Also Mary's parents. Yeah, you should set up a thing. We could like sell tickets. We could do a whole event. Pool party.
There we go. Put it in the calendar. We're there.
You don't really know how to do that.
We'll figure it out.
Is that a joke?
It's a joke.
Okay. Like, she literally owns an event management company.
Seriously. When is this tour?
That's it's June 16th, 17th, and 18th. So 18th is the day we haven't filled, where the Waterloo venue you play at is booked up, and whatever the name of that spot in the Casbah.
The Casbah,
is booked up that night as well. So that was our original plan.
Right.
So we're just going to make something work in either Waterloo or in Hamilton.
Nice.
On the 18th of June.
Sweet. Well, we'll definitely be at one of your shows. Well, actually, I don't know about Mary, but I will.
Yeah. We'll keep our ears open. Well, I have a wedding on the 18th at the Callan Ski Club, but I feel like I could make it after.
Yeah, come on.
This is so not interesting to anyone listening. Like, we don't need to know your schedule, guys. But I do want to put that out there for anyone who might know of a spot and, you know, maybe something will happen. So the 17th you play in Toronto.
17th in Toronto. Yeah, we actually have two shows that night.
Where?
Both at the Cameron House.
Yeah, nice.
And then, yeah.
Spot.
Yeah, and then the 16th, the day before, we play at Overflow Brewery in Ottawa. And then we boogie back on Sunday.
Holy
Actually, shit. I'm there for a week. They're taking the van back. I'm in Ontario for a week and a bit.
Okay. You're going to do some work with Jordan?
Yeah, we have a plan to meet up with Jordan. My sister's birthday. We might go camping or something. And I might try to get some shows. I have a wedding in Waterloo the following weekend I'm playing at. So I'm going to try to book some more shows in Ontario at some point. Just solo.
In and around that time. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, well, keep us up to date because we'd love to come check it out. I want to see the full band situation.
Yeah, it's fun.
But
you should.
I think we've lost Bridget, but she
I thought she was just... Yeah, she's frozen. I thought she was just...
She's a very good listener, but she's not that good. Not that good. That's a little too much. She's probably going to get kicked out and come back in. But
yeah. Okay.
There she goes. Bye, Bridget. She'll be back. That's super wicked. I mean, I want to kind of wait for Bridget for this, but we can start. So you met Jordan several years ago. There Bridget is, maybe.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
My internet cut out.
I met Jordan several years ago. Possibly.
You met Jordan several years ago. Possibly. Maybe.
Possibly?
You did. Accurate. Okay. That's real.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Okay. Did you?
I don't know.
I don't know. When did you meet him?
I thought just recently. I thought just working with him with Craig, but we might have crossed paths at some point.
Right. Well, everything you keep saying, I'm like, I don't know how.
Okay, wait, guys.
I haven't met you before.
I have to interrupt because did it continue recording while I was gone?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
All right. Either way, I'll splice her together.
And 11, 12, 13 seconds.
Okay, mine's just saying that it restarted, so that's fine.
Daniel thought you were just very intentional.
I thought you were just a great, great listener, yeah.
That's what I did.
And I said she is. She's a very good listener, but not
that good.
Not that good.
You were literally just like...
Just frozen.
Which, we also have to give you kudos, because you know when people's face like freezes on Zoom and it's always an unfortunate look? But when yours froze at the beginning, Daniel, you just had like this really nice smile and it just looked like a picture of you.
No,
it was up, and I was like, what?
Look at this.
Great.
I'll try.
Sorry. So you've just met Jordan. I thought you met him earlier.
Recently, it's possible. I've known his name for a long time, but I don't think we've ever met in person. Just through Partick artists and stuff. And over the years, I've always known his name. Nice. But I don't think
for
we've actually connected.
For anyone listening, Partick artists is, Craig
Cardiff's agency? It's what he started as a almost like label agency. I don't know.
Yeah. There was a lot more going on a few years ago with Partick artists, but yeah, it still exists. And Jordan used to work with Craig there in Ottawa, which again is why I'm like, I don't know how you didn't Meet him
earlier. Yeah, like maybe he was booking Craig through Jordan. Jordan was the one booking
Craig very possible.
For many years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is how I met Jordan. Like I was booking Craig through this random Jordan person and then years later met him at Goga.
There we go.
Goga. Yeah. Anyway.
Cool.
So
have we talked about Canary
Jordan.
Minor?
Tell us about
Is that where we're going?
That was my segue. Okay, but you did a faster job. So.
Sorry, I missed half of it, so I didn't know if we were already talking about it or if we were getting into it.
No, I noticed you froze, so I was like really dragging the whole.
You're just talking about how great Jordan was for the past 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get you caught up, and then anyway.
Anyway,
the last 3 minutes have been a complete shit show. So let's reel it back in. So Daniel, welcome to Talking 20.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about the relationship with Canary Minor Music and meeting Jordan and how everything came to be.
Okay. So with working with Craig, we were uploading kids songs up through. Jordan was involved in the process with IDLA, which is a distribution. They use digital distribution, and so I'd always see him kind of copied on emails, and we were kind of we've always been in contact last year over emails, but not directly to each other, just kind of CC'd back and forth. I've worked with Steven Ryan on actually writing kid songs. He did a couple of really cool ones last year, and Jordan just reached out and asked if I'd be interested in working with them and meeting up, and I said, heck yeah, seems like a great opportunity. And then, yeah, just rest is history.
Rest is history. It's becoming
and
history.
So the plan's moving forward.
It's becoming
history. Yeah. So the plan's moving forward. Like, what are some of the exciting things you guys have in the works?
So I'm working on a new record starting in – this is not – I want to say this – kind
loosely.
Of loosely. It is booked, but I'm going for a couple weeks in September to Montreal to record some songs and get a record together. And that will be kind of the first record that's released through Canary Minor. And yeah, excited about it. And working with a new producer named Quinn Bichand. He's this awesome producer. He produced a record for my friend Mike McKenna Jr. called At the End of the World. Also very loosely saying the name of the record, but it's a beautiful
great plug.
There's a song called High Ground by Mike McKenna Jr. that I listened to specifically that I was like, this is beautiful, who produced it. And then that's how I got in touch with Quinn. And Jordan's just been helping with everything. We've had a couple meetings since. He's helping with booking. He's helping with everything. So just really excited. I was not – a label was not on my radar unless it was like a really good fit. And I love Jordan. I love working with him already. And yeah, it just was a great fit. And they're small and they're kind of exactly what I want. I want to do more shows back in Ontario and spend more time there, kind of expanding the market. And it came at a perfect opportunity and a perfect time to kind of – keep a connection between myself and where I grew up.
Yeah, you'll have to record a song in Steven Ryan's studio.
I think there's definitely a plan for that. At some
it's
point,
in the
so.
Works. Yeah,
but
yeah,
he
yeah.
only records at like 3-4 a.m. So
perfect.
Be ready for that.
Okay, that's good.
Are you that way too?
No, I do writing late, but I don't do too much recording. I'm working on a studio slowly, but.
He interviewed him a few months ago when we announced. Yeah, he goes to the gym at midnight because he just realized that like he has more energy at nighttime, and he was like fighting this like be up when the sun's up thing, and then he'd get late at night and be like, I have all this energy now, I'm going to bed. I was dragging my feet all day, so we just switched it, and he just started going to the gym at midnight, and then he comes home, goes into the studio, and just works and creates. And is and he was like, I'm just done with this. So like I sleep in the morning. Don't talk to me. I'll be in bed in the mornings and then you can get me in the afternoon. And I was like,
I love
astonished
that.
Astonished by this.
Yeah. My friend, David Campbell, who did a lot of the mixing on this record and also for Craig's most recent album is the same way. He works late, and that's when he has energy, and that's when he wants to work. So it's cool. A lot of people are like that. That's when I write songs.
It's like a musician thing. Or just a creative mind thing. It's like when people get hyper-focused, you got to maximize those times.
Yeah. No, when there's no distractions.
And like maybe it's something to do with like there's no distractions. The rest of the world's shut down. So like you're not getting phone calls or emails. You're not thinking about this person or am I going to get my Amazon package? Like, no, none of that's happening. So you can just like.
Speaking of.
Yeah, I know. Where's my Amazon?
Yeah. Package? So how much do you know about Canary Minor? This is what I have a little trivia sesh for you.
Oh no.
Am I gonna throw you under the bus with my trivia sesh?
You 100% are. I know John.
I'm gonna do it.
Meerhead. I know Steven, and I know Jordan, and that's where I'm at in terms of.
Okay, well, actually, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know for our trivia session.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Question one.
That's the easiest trivia game I've ever played.
What? Who wrote the soundtrack for our introduction? I'll play it for you. You ready? Or sorry, what song is the soundtrack for our introduction?
Yes.
I'm going to play it for you.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, wait. You're listening to the Talking 20 podcast. This
sounds
podcast
like Steven
is
Ryan.
For you if you're in your 20s and you're thinking, do you know what song
it's
it is?
Too,
what the
it
hell
sound,
am I doing?
It sounds too...
We've all been there and we want to talk about
it. But it's
it.
Too produced. You're your host. It's too much of a pop sound, I think, to be John Muirhead, so I'm going to say Steven Ryan did it.
Yeah, you're right. It burns like fire.
I know a place if you'd like to go.
I've heard this one.
Where two hearts can fall in love and lose.
Okay, my other question for you is... Wait. Well, you're going to know now. Whose merch is this?
That's such a lovely album cover. That I saw that album cover before... I knew anything about Canary Minor or about John, and I was like, this is really cool. I think I screenshot it years ago.
Isn't it
like
cool?
Whenever it came out.
Like, so good.
Yeah, that's a great album cover and a good album. Yeah. So that's John Muirhead's.
Yeah, and he has amazing merch.
The name of the record is just called Traveler. Yeah. Yeah.
I wear that literally every day. There are 17 different stains on it.
I love it.
I love it. All right. There, you passed.
Can
you
go through one by
the
one
trivia.
What stains is very nice.
I could walk you through each.
Now you're officially signed with Canary Minor.
That was the easiest. I'm so happy you weren't like,
there.
What day was it founded?
What day was it founded?
Oh my god,
awesome.
So funny.
All right, shall we move on to our final questions, Mare? Do you have anything
Absolutely.
Else?
Absolutely.
Okay, dokie. All right.
Wait, actually, I do. Okay. Because we started talking before we recorded about how you are doing photography / film.
Oh, yeah.
And also you're doing photography for weddings, which, like if you're ever in Ontario and looking for gigs, it would be good to know because we do weddings all the time. We do lots of events, but weddings are our primary ones right now. Tell us about that.
Okay, I will. It's exciting to me. Plug for East Coast Pop-Up Weddings. It's a company run by an amazing woman named Sarah. And she's amazing. So it's East Coast Pop-Up Weddings on Instagram. She started this pop-up wedding idea where it's just her and like small wedding parties. And you go to like different beautiful spots in Nova Scotia and get married with like just like elopement almost. But I think the maximum party size is like 10, 15.
So cool.
So we've done like weddings at campsites. I mainly do the video for it. So I do all the videography for her because it's really fun and I love working with her. And then more recently, she's been doing that for years and it's been really popular and done really well in Nova Scotia. She started like a Las Vegas style wedding chapel in Wolfville called the Wolfville Wedding Chapel. And there's like little Elvises and like it's like a quick 30 minutes in and out. You get married. So she approached me for the summer to do the photography for it. So I started last week and it's just maybe two a week. And I go in for like 30 minutes to an hour and take a bunch of photos and it's really fun.
Do you have photography?
Yeah, I've always been interested in
photography.
Editing
and stuff?
You said you did video.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing video and photography stuff. Like it's always been a side thing for me since I was like in grade 7 or grade 8. So I've always been into it. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. It's really good to know because we are always looking for people all over the place. Also, if anyone's ever looking for a wedding coordinator in Halifax, we travel.
Nice.
Or
good to know.
East in general.
Yeah.
You should come out. It's really It's where I live in the Valley is a really popular wedding destination. Like, it's packed really? All summer. Yeah.
Nice. Wow. Well, I'm sure you'll meet your age people at these weddings.
We want to do like our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, always. You always get a referral at a wedding.
Yeah, it's the way to do it. Yeah, that's what's great about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're looking to do our own version of like a tour, but for wedding coordinators. So we like go to a destination. So obviously in January, we want to go to like a resort and just stay there for 2 months and do weddings.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, in the summer, it'd be wicked to like go out east and just.
There's lots of people getting married. So
yeah,
it'd be a good opportunity. Well,
keep us in mind if anybody's looking for anybody. Sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our final questions, Daniel, if you could look back on the journey of your 20s, would you do anything differently?
Look back on the journey of my 20s, would I do anything differently? I'd say at this point, if you had asked me maybe like a year ago or 2 years ago, I might have a different answer. But at this point, I'd say I'm pretty happy with the path I've chosen. And maybe I'd like figure out how to do taxes. That's my one thing takeaway for anybody here. Like, I am just like, they don't teach you in school, and like being a musician, it's very like cloudy about like
keep what your you receipts. Claim
and stuff. So now I'm in this like pile of work for the next like 2 weeks of getting all my taxes together, and it's an absolute nightmare. So that's what I would have done differently, is learn how to do taxes at like 18 and done them myself. So that's my one thing.
How to do taxes, how to properly clean your entire house and keep it clean.
And how to date.
How to keep your house clean.
How to date. No, we can't. Because it just changes every year when they come out with a new.
How to manage successful relationships would have been a great class in high school.
That would be a great course in high school.
Done by the teacher who's a divorcee, who's like sleeping with two of the other teachers that you have.
How to raise a dog. Yeah. That would have been a good one. Know.
How to raise a dog and how to buy a house. Yes. Because the process of buying a house is so hard and complicated and terrifying. And like, the learning in it never stops. I've bought a house and now I'm looking at buying another house. And I'm like, why does it feel like the first time I've ever done this? I don't understand anything.
I'm with you.
Guys, I have a life hack.
And most recently, putting a will together.
Putting a will?
Ooh, a will?
It's terrible.
That's scary. Are you planning on dying? In your 20s?
No, but I have assets.
Nobody's planning on dying.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's planning to skip
I have a business. I have investments. I have a house. I have things that need to go somewhere if something happens to me.
Good call. Yeah.
So for
but you go in there and they're like, okay, so who are you choosing? And wait, because they'd be like, who are you choosing? And I would say Bridget. And they'd be like, okay, so then what happens if Bridget dies? I'm like, okay, Daniel. Well, if Bridget dies, then Daniel. Duh.
Natural succession. Like,
not even Danny boy, my boy Danny. And then they'll be like, okay, well, what if you, Danny, and Bridget all die in the same car? Like, you have to think through every scenario, and it's like done by percentages, and it's it's a lot to think about, but you should, because it could get very, very messy if you have anything worth someone having.
I was gonna say the way to avoid this is by not having any assets.
That's good, good advice. So everybody out there, life hack, no assets.
Just don't buy a house.
Don't buy a house. Don't save any of your money. Just use it. Just use it all up all the time. So Daniel, in terms of the taxes thing, the more music you're doing and like your photography, if everything's like going really well, I highly recommend a bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Highly, highly. I have one now. I did one for the first time this year. And all I had to do was just like, she gave me a master list of everything I needed to provide her. And I'm a psycho who needs things printed, but you could just electronically send your stuff off to your bookkeeper. But literally, I just like handed her envelopes full of stuff. And then a week later, she came back and was like, here's your tax return.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have
money was in my account.
Guy in Woodbridge, actually, he's helping me out. But it's still like, it's a nightmare tracking all this stuff down.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Bookkeeper. Yeah. Have somebody year one. Yeah. Starting now.
This is your shit year, but now you know. And so from here on out, have a system, and then it should get easier from here.
That's great.
But I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
Thank you. Cool.
So besides.
So my question is, do you have any.
No, I think I'm delayed.
You say it. You are very.
Yeah, because I talk and then 10 minutes later. You go.
Delayed laugh, too.
No, Bridget, you go.
All right, Daniel, besides taxes, do you have any advice for your 20-year-old self? No, or for 20-year-olds today?
Advice for your 20-year-old self. Okay, yeah, follow your passion and your dreams, because you could fail at doing what you don't want to do, so might as well fail at doing something you love. Jim Carrey actually said something similar to that, and I really, because his dad was an accountant and actually wanted to be a musician, but decided that it was safer to be an accountant, and then got fired from his accounting job after like 10 years, and then had no money, and then that's where that quote comes from.
Interesting.
I really like it.
I really like
that. So it's like, yeah, you can fail at doing what you don't want to do, so might as well do what you want to do.
Love that.
Yeah. And hustle when you do it.
Hustle. Yeah, yeah. Grind.
That's like, the biggest thing.
Learn how to say no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You're telling me. Mm. That's a scary one. That's a very scary one. That's, I think, the biggest missing piece of that is, like, the advice you're giving is, could be, like, a cop-out for people to not try at something else, right? So like, you're coming out of college or university and you just don't want to get that job, or you just don't want to start adulting in whatever way. And so the thing is like, well, I'm not passionate about it. And that's where millennials get this like bad rap, because it's being convoluted with like, they're not passionate and they're lazy and they don't want to work. And so my thing has always been like, yeah, Bridget and I, like, we're doing our entrepreneur thing and we're like pushing and driving to do what we love and like find our own thing, but we fucking work for it. Yeah. Like, it's not the easier path, but it is the path with passion that, yeah, I would rather fail at this than take a marketing job and in 10 years be like, where the fuck am I? I've lost whatever, because it was in someone else's hands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
All right. There's one more question there, Mary.
Rich,
you do
this one. Oh, you're good now.
Oh, I'm good now. Yay.
Can you offer any words of wisdom to people pursuing their dream of becoming a full-time musician?
Yeah, I think it's the best thing you can do is stay humble and play to as many people and any audience that you can as much as possible. Yeah, it takes time. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. It's still... like, you're always going to – there's a couple things. So the first thing is, it doesn't happen overnight. Be patient with yourself and be patient with the process. And speaking of the process, fall in love with the process of doing it, because there's always – no matter what you do, whether you're like – you think happiness is going to come at the next step, where it's like, once I have a song out, I'm going to be successful in my mind. Once I have a record out, I'm going to be successful in my mind. Once I play a show to 200 people, I'm going to be happy. You can't delay that happiness, because there's always going to be something else and you're never going to be satisfied with where you're at. So you have to fall in love with playing to people, making connections. And it happens by connecting with fans one at a time. And it adds up.
And don't drink the free tab.
Don't drink. Don't get absolutely wasted at shows.
Is
a good call, but it's, you could learn that the hard way. If you
learn that yourself. Yeah,
I feel like if we did like an uncensored version, you would have some really great stories for us.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be 2.0 talking 30s.
Okay, we'll get him talking drunk 30s. And we'll ask after the show.
That sounds good.
There we go.
On 11 a.m. on a Friday. Actually, it's 12. Yeah. It's 12:10 here, so I think it's more acceptable.
It's fine to drink.
You said it was 4.
Yeah, I love you. Believed it was 4.
I did believe it was 4. I'm telling you, like, these things, I'm just not confident in. So I just believe people when they say shit. It's terrible. I know.
All right, I'm gonna close this up. I'm gonna interrupt you and close this up. All right, Daniel. Okay.
All right.
Thank you
Wrap this bitch up.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Daniel. It was awesome to get to know you, more about you and your story. If anybody wants to reach out to you, where can they do that?
Instagram's great. Daniel James McFadden, McFadyen. Or my website, danieljamesmcfadden.com. You can email me there. Or Facebook. You know, in this day and age, it's pretty easy to get hold of people, so...
Awesome. Just Google your name.
Anywhere.
And we'll find
you. I'll see it.
Yes.
Perfect. Awesome. Just well, Google. I will link those in the show notes along with the links to your album, August I'm Yours, on the various streaming platforms. This has been another episode of Talking 20. Cool. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. And make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Talking 20 Podcast. And of course, don't forget to stream, follow, download, subscribe, all the things to Daniel James McFadden on all of the platforms. Thanks for listening.